Blog Talk Radio.
John. Here, you've earned this. Sure you wrote it big enough?
Yes, old King George should be able to see that.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, a decent respect requires that they declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to establish new government. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, do and with the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved of all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. In the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Let's talk to Will in Arizona. Thanks for holding her on the air.
First off, I am a Prison TV Planet member.
Awesome, brother. Go ahead and do your points, and I'll hold you over if need be.
If you really want to have an unabridged idea of what is going on today, look at it's actually a YouTube video, but it's a documentary, Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. He actually kicked out a lot of the bankers because they were trying to implode Germany after World War One. And it was the bankers. And when I was watching that, it was 5 hours long. And I started listening and saying to myself, wait a minute. They are just repeating history, but because we are so dumbed down in the sense of our historical knowledge.
Well, I haven't seen the documentary you're talking about, but people can, I guess, check it out for themselves.
In the very well-made, excellent, and moving documentary called Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. I want you to do something for me as well, and I would really appreciate it. Before you listen to this interview, I want you to watch the documentary. I know you want to listen to this program right away, but if you haven't already seen it, I want you to stop this program right now and go watch the documentary first. And I'm adamant about watching the documentary because one of the biggest hurdles that the majority of people seem to have, they're basically just kind of set in their ways, and they argue that they already know everything that they need to know concerning this topic. Well, I can promise you, people, you don't know one-tenth of it.
I seriously had a panic attack after I watched that documentary, The Greatest Story Never Told. And for days afterward, I was really shook up. It had such a profound impact on me, and everything started making so much sense, and I felt so... I mean, I've always felt kind of betrayed by the powers that be, but I felt more betrayed than ever. Mm-hmm. And I started looking back on my entire life, and looking back at all the movies that I'd seen.
I just couldn't believe it. I thought if they could pull off this, then anything is possible. Anything.
Yeah. You
know, and that one, you know, I would encourage anybody watching this or listening to this to watch that hasn't seen that documentary to watch it and you can go back
with
and,
an open mind.
Open mind and listen to that interview that you did with Dennis Wise recently.
But that's most likely what got us censored from iTunes, by the way, too, that show.
Yeah, well.
That show is what we're not allowed to talk about. It's just off limits, you know?
And that's what, when I was going through that sort of panic attack realization, that was it. That was the big red flag. I was like, oh my God, like of course we're not being told the truth because we're not allowed to talk about this issue. When you're not allowed to talk about something, then that's like the red flag right there. If it's off limits, then that's the thing you need to talk about the most.
And the rule to remember is that history is written by the winner.
I can promise you, people, you don't know 1/10 of it.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay. Names synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, you need God in America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, you can't have national morality apart from religious principle, and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is put God in America again.
The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again.
Abe Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that Word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vexes us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is gonna fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. I believe it's time, America, to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand. And send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from. And let the Word of God revive our dying land. For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all His glory, and every eye shall see Him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power is coming on us, to boldly tell the world you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce.
If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers, because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms and start handing out the Word of God in school. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our way, stand firm and stay, we need God in America again. I know the only hope for America is Jesus.
Set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement, and it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material compositions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson podcasting here live, understanding the times which we live today.
God save the Republic. Our fathers appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. Our fathers said they would treat all men equal. When they did not, heaven saw. Heaven saw. Our fathers fought each other and paid a great price. Father Abe kept the Union, but not the Republic. We forgot the Republic and placed our trust in man and suffer oppression. We appeal to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. God save the Republic.
All right, everybody, Joseph Gibson podcasting here live, understanding the times in which we live today. Happy Father's Day. Of course, tomorrow's Father's Day. Of course, everyone knows that I'm a father, but, you know, we're not going to get into my, what's going on with my situation or whatnot. It's going to be a continuing ongoing battle probably for the rest of my life or the rest of my days. So that we're not going to get into detail about that, but I'm sure there's the spoofers and spammers out there and the people that are watching my internet and watching my Facebook and listening to this podcast show and hacking into my phones and doing all their silly little things and sending me messages and whatnot. They continue to do their same nonsense. They have been for a long time now, and the battle will probably rage on. I know I'm in the right. I know what I'm doing. I'm at home doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm on a podcast show worldwide. So my whereabouts are always documented, and you'll never get my real phone number again, you know. So you can call this number as much as you want. It's my podcast show, but whatever numbers you think you have, you don't have, and you won't get my real phone number again if I even have a cell phone anymore. I'll let you decide what foot you'll stick up your ass first, okay? So we'll leave it at that. So you just continue on with your games, all of you, whatever you do. I remember they used to do, what they would do is they'd send me a felonious text message and through their text now number and through their spy apps, their MySpy and all that stuff, and then they would, spoof their caller ID and try to basically get me in trouble. Not working, didn't work, and it will not work. Because I'm a little smarter than the average bear. So on Father's Day there. But listen, God knows the heart of the wickedness of these people that do what they do. Okay? God knows. And God will take care of you. Nothing good will come of what you do and your selfishness and how you react and the people that you hurt throughout your life. You know, I don't really believe in karma, but God will deal eventually, whether it be in this life or the next. You will be dealt with according to God. You won't be dealt with by me. I have no reason to deal with you. Because my solution would be absolute, and really I don't have any power. I can't play God. The only thing I could do is use my free will to be who I am and what I am and what I do, and know that I don't hurt anybody. I have done nothing wrong, and I continue to do nothing wrong. And like I said, if you really analyze anyone who knows my personal story that's listening, the system actually basically protected me. This is the best situation I could be in right now that I'm in, whatever I'm, which I'm not going to go in detail, but those that I'm talking to right now on outside the box know exactly what I'm talking about, because where I am and what I am and what I'm doing is verifiable now. Thank you. So thank you very much to those people who tried to get me and burn me and tried to set me up and do what they do. You now have enough rope, and you're swinging from the highest tree. And now, your turn will come as far as getting you, what your ass is going to be handed to you. And I'll just leave it at that, because I want to send that personal message out on this Father's Day weekend, because I'm in a very good situation right now, actually, this Father's Day. So, like I said to my enemies out there, thank you so much for all the trouble you've given yourselves to try to come after me, slander my name, putting the Craigslist ads up, Craigslist tickets, this Lionel Richie tickets, the many, many, many crank calls, the game sites or whatever you've got going on there, and posing as people and posing like this person and doing this, and it's spinning off and has a ripple effect going into and other people doing what they have done. I want to say thank you so much, because it's made me better. It's made me stronger, it's made me smarter, and it's made me so much more wiser, and now I know how to handle those situations. And how I will handle them is by doing nothing now. Now I don't have to do anything. I could just sit here and watch from beyond and far beyond the scenes. So thank you so much. And God works in mysterious ways. God protected me. And that's how it looks right now, because whatever happens anyway, you know, look, I know where I go when it's all said and done. I go to heaven. Do you know where you go? Do you absolutely 100% for sure know that you go meet your father? Or do you go with your other father, the worm? Because that's where, so it's your choice. You know, it's your choice. You can either go with the Father in heaven, or you can go with the worm. Okay? And that's what Jesus even said that. You go with the worm. You know, you know better than that. I mean, that's what, you know, so worm would. You know, so, you know, you just, I'm perfectly content with what I'm doing and where I'm at now in life. And I want to say thank you so much. And I'm glad certain people are not back in my life. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing, you know, and, you know, we'll just continue to strive on and carry out, and maybe next Father's Day we'll be a champion of the Constitution again. We'll have the original Constitution restored, and we will march on. I want to give a shout-out to Dr. Peter Paul Ventura. I know he's listening tonight. He's not going to call in. He's a little bit tired. He's been traveling, so I just want to give a shout-out to him. I don't think my grandma's listening tonight. I did not give her a call, so I don't think she's listening, so she wouldn't know to listen. So I just want to give a shout-out to her anyway. And that was a good show we did the other night. I played a request for her. She wanted to listen to Oreo Speedwagon. Oh, and Mike Hunt in the chat room. Mike Hunt, 69, Mike Hunt, 692. Oh, yes, Meister 69, Mike Hunt, 692. Yes, yes. We don't know who you are now. We now know who you are. Oh, yes, we sure do. Mike. Don't want to be like Mike. Remember that commercial, I want to be like Mike? No, we don't want to be like Mike now. Oh, Mikey. Well, but, you know. Oh, and I remember I was originally asked, oh, yeah, it's been this long, nothing's happened to us. You're right. These people work in their own method and own accord and own time, and we don't rush things. We just allow things to take place as they are and as they go. Just I'll stay out of the way of the others and continue to live my life and do what I do best and enjoy my life, you know. I had the opportunity to grow up living with my great-grandparents, my great-grandmother in Wallingford, Connecticut. You know, I had the opportunity to go all the way up to the age of 16 and live under her roof. You know, many weekends spent over there with my cousin. You know, that's another generation. We lost that generation now. That generation's gone. You know, and so you don't think about that when you're 12 years old, that, you know, when I'm 40-something years old, that that generation will be gone. So all the knowledge and memories and history and stories that they knew are gone. They're disappeared forever. But, you see, but they passed them on down. You see, when they used to talk and tell stories. So now I remember, and I'll pass them down as a father to my children, you see. And that's how it'll work. And then my children will pass it down to their children and so on and so forth. Because I don't think I'll be old enough. I don't think I'll survive long enough to be a great-grandfather to anybody. Because the age is kind of deflected a little bit and got flipped on times there. You see, when I was, 12 years old, my great-grandmother was, 75 maybe? 74, 76? So, you know, they still had a lot of years left and whatnot. So, you know, it was, so I, you know, it was, they were come. By the time I'm a great-grandparent, I would have to be about probably about 100 years old, unless my sons have children like now, which I hardly unlikely is going to happen. So, but, you know, I even think I was alive. I think I was alive, actually, when my great-great-grandparents, I think it was my great-great-grandmother, I think her parents were alive when I was born, actually. I think I was about 1 year when they died. So imagine that, your great-great-grandparents being able to hold you as a baby. Imagine that honor. How many people could say that out there? So, you know, that's obviously very awesome. And then on my mother's side there, my great-grandparents, too, I had the pleasure to, matter of fact, my great-grandfather, Steve, he passed away when I was 19 years old. My great-grandfather, yep, passed away down in Florida, you know. And his wife, my great-grandmother, she passed away when I was 16, I think it was. So, or 17, my great-grandfather died very rapidly after she passed away, which obviously they were married for, what, 60 years? Imagine being married for 60 years, you know. I mean, that's just, that's unheard of today. It's unheard of. A couple being married, and I know that firsthand. Look what I deal with. If anyone ever knew out there, boy, oh boy, boy, oh boy, if anyone ever knew. And what a shame, what a shame. You know, and that's my only crime, being a good husband and a good father. That's my only crime. And today, that's, hey, look, truth is always the first victim in war. You know, always. And that's just the way it is. And that's just, and those are the times in which we live today. But Father's Day, happy Father's Day to everybody. And then I know I got people out there. I got one supporter up there in New York there. We stay in contact a lot. I haven't heard from him in about a week or so. I know he's not a dad, but I'm sure he has a dad. So happy Father's Day to him and everybody else out there. I know my grandfather, my father's father, passed away this year. So he's without a father, but then again, he grew up without a father technically anyway. So the stories that could be told there, I mean, why? I mean, what good did it do to be so cheap all your life? What good did it do? What good is it doing him now? You know, what good is it doing him now hoarding all the money he had, or anyone out there who hoards money? What good is it that you have to be petty, anal, retentive, and pertussive with your money? Why? Why would you do that? You know, I mean, to save up for what? For what? What do you save up for a rainy day? It's always raining. You know, so people that are cheap and cheapskates and that are very petty usually grow throughout their lives not being good people. And they, you know, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with being fiscally responsible or having a nest egg just in case something was to happen. But there's always a just in case. There always is, you know. There's always an emergency around the corner. There's always a reason why some things happen, you know. So, but if you're a good person, you don't have to have that set aside because you are a good person and you always, good people always surround themselves around good people usually, or they have a few select good people that are there. And I'm talking about good people that will be there for you. Hey, I need some help here. Hey, can you help me out with this? Hey, oh, by the way, can you come over and help me out here? Oh, can you come here? You know, those are things that come without a question asked that are done. And you don't get, you know, held over your head there like a witch doctor, you know, where, you know, or just you hear the song and the blues and the violins playing, you know. Now, my great-grandmother, she was very, 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 very cheap. But she grew up during the Depression. So, you know, the people who grew up during the Depression understood what it was like to have nothing. Now, we consider a Depression if they don't get an Xbox for Christmas, okay? That's a Depression for us. But my great-grandparents, they were lucky to get an orange in their stocking, an orange for Christmas. Imagine that growing up. You're 9 years old, Santa's coming to town, and your only thing you're hoping for is an apple or an orange. And it was a great day if you got that in your stocking at Christmas time. That's what they grew up during within the Depression. You know, very, very tough times, man. Very difficult times. Difficult. You know, so people just don't know what it's like. They don't understand those types of situations or how people lived back then, but I remember my grandmother talking about it. And I remember her walking to the, my great-grandmother, excuse me, walking to the grocery store down at the corner. She didn't drive. You know, walking there with $9.87, and she would not spend more than $9.87. I don't care what was going on or what was happening. She would not spend it. She has $60,000 in the bank. She's not spending more than $9.87. There is no such thing as an emergency to her. You know? And if she bought a can of soda, she was buying the cheapest soda there was. Name brand? Hell no. You never saw Coca-Cola in her refrigerator. You saw the local grocery store Stop and Shop soda. And after playing out in the summer weather as a kid, you were lucky to get one, or you had to split it with your sibling. And you weren't going to have another one because you get sick and die. So, you know, that's the you know. But all in all, though, one thing was always guaranteed, though, with my great-grandmother or great-grandpa, they always had a roof over their head. And you always had a place to go as a kid. If you were a kid and you needed some place to go, you can go there. You know? You can't do that today. There's not a place to go anymore. You know, with families anymore. Well, at least in my sector anyway. Most likely they don't want you there, number one. You know, I mean, number two is that they'll cry broke, like I said, but that they're broke is they didn't get an Xbox or a new laptop. You know, so, or they're just petty, anal people, and they just don't like you, or just not good people, period. And that's, you know, most of the people that are existed, and most of the families out there today in American culture. And that's just the way they are. You know, but my great-grandparents, they grew up during the Depression, so they understood what it was like to be broke. So, you know, you learned a lot from people like that. And let me tell you something, they were law-abiding citizens. They would not break the law? Hell no. They would not break the law. If they found a quarter on the sidewalk, they'd make sure they returned it to the closest house. They'd knock on every door. Did you lose this? That's serious. You know, empty shopping cart on the corner. I remember me and my cousin taking it up to Wilsey Avenue School in Wallingford and sliding it, rolling it down the hill. My great-grandmother almost had a stroke when she saw that. And sure enough, the cops showed up. I wonder if she called the cops on us. I wonder. I don't think so. But the Wallingford police showed up, and they saw what we were doing. And she talked to the cop, and we ended up having to walk that shopping cart all the way back down to the grocery store and apologize to the store manager. And that was it. And then we got to go home. You know? Today, if you were doing that, oh, Lord, you'd probably be tasered, electrocuted. You'd get a $10,000 fine. You have to pay $50,000 in attorney fees, post a $25,000 bond. And go to court 35 times, you know? So, you know, and people wouldn't have their great-grandmother up at bat for them, you know, up at the schoolyard, you know? And that was the thing. And, you know, when it got dark out, you had to be inside the house. You know, you slept over my great-grandmother's house. You had to be inside as soon as it started getting dark. That's it, because bad things happen when it gets dark. That's what she used to always say. You don't need to be outside when it's dark. You know, and you never went hungry. If you were hungry, you go knock on my great-grandmother's door, she'll feed you. She'll feed you. You know, not a complaint. She wouldn't say, oh, I'm tired. You know, I worked all day today. Oh, come on, man, you're bothering me. Hell no. You'd walk in there, you'd get plates shoved down your throat. You want to eat? Come on, you got to eat something. Come on, you got to eat something, you know? I remember I was in third grade, and I was going to Wilsey Avenue School in Wallingford, Connecticut, and lunchtime. I used to walk down to my great-grandmother's house by myself. I didn't have to sign out. I had to scan an ID. I didn't scan my forehead, right hand, to get out of the school in and out. I didn't have to have 18 guardians submitting a blood test just to verify who I was and who they were to get me out of school. You walk, the recess was there, and I just cut through a hole in the fence and go to my great-grandmother's house for lunch. Sit down there, she'd cook me a bowl of soup, a quick hamburger or something, you know. I'd walk the dog for her, she had a dog there, you know. And I said, okay, you better get back, you're going to be late, okay. And really, I was always late anyway, but they didn't care back then. You know, I'd walk, cut back to the room, join the kids back at recess if they were out for recess, or go back up to my third grade class. You know, school doors were open. Remember those days? School doors were open. Not anymore. Not anymore. You know, I remember that. Second grade, third grade, and fourth grade. Wilsey Avenue School, and then they closed the school down. It was a school from the 1800s, and it had a bell on the roof and everything, one of those big bells. Bing, bing, you know, yeah. And they closed the school down, and we all had to go to Moses, transfer over to Moses Y, B school, and it was a more modern school, and they had a jerk there for a principal, and, you know, and then everything started going downhill in the town after that, pretty much. And then they started busing kids in from New Haven and whatnot. They forced busing, you know, the VOAG programs, and it just ruined the whole, you know. That's where civics stopped being taught and stuff like that. You know, but, yeah, remember those days? You know, if my father or mother wanted to come up to the school, you know, they just walk right in. Oh, where's Joey's class at? Oh, second floor up there. Yeah, Miss Siganic's class. Oh, yeah, that's up there. I remember that. Is matter of fact, my father had the same teachers I had, and his father. You know, you don't have that anymore. You don't have that anymore. Oh, that's gone. That's gone. Those days are gone. Right now, you got armed guards at the school doors. You know, come on. Is that's what type of republic or democracy we have today? What a shame. What a shame. You know, and why couldn't we have kept it that way, those types of day? I mean, why couldn't we have advanced but kept it where? That why have people changed so much? Why are schools being a school shooting? A school shooting? When I was in high school, I never heard of such a thing. For goodness sake, the kids used to bring shotguns on the back of their pickup trucks in the gun racks when I used to go to high school. I remember when I was living with my grandmother there up in northern New Hampshire there. Yeah, I mean, 30-odd six shotgun, 12-gauge shotgun, we were looking at the guns at recess. Imagine that today. Oh, my Lord, the United States Marine Corps would be there surrounding the school. Kids would be showing up to 30-odd six, 12-gauge shotguns in the parking lot of the school. But you know what? In those days, in those schools, if you had a problem with a kid, you know what? You went out in the woods and you fought. And then whoever won, you got back up, you shook hands, and it was over. Now, nowadays, kids get in a fight, they got to stomp their head into the ground into mush and kill them. You know what I mean? It's just because it's an evil madness, you know, and nothing's over. Hell, if they don't win the fight, they're going to come back and shoot your house up or shoot the school up. You know, why has this changed so much? Why is it gone so terrible? Cameras in the hallways of our schools and high school? Hell no. The students wouldn't allow that. Those things are coming down. Not today. Not today. Hell, you say white and proud in a high school right now, you're suspended for life. You're banned from the town even, probably. You know? No lie. I'm kicked off of Facebook, right? Kicked off of Facebook. Let me tell you what I'm kicked off of Facebook for. Facebook. I'm kicked off of Facebook for posting. I'm going to read you the post here. Right here. This shows one of the examples of why we are just so, so lost. And this is it right here. About your comment. No one else can see your comment now. It says the support inbox is your place to get updates about things that you have reported. Check and reply to messages from the help team and see important messages about your account, my account. All right? It says, this is Joseph Gibson. I don't even remember putting this up. I don't even remember. I see a lot of negative comments. Is anyone going to take me up on my offer? Give your reasons why Donald Trump should be president. What a big question mark. Live tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. Call me, 657-383-0616. Press 1 to talk. I'm a terrorist. That's it. I'm a terrorist. FBI, I'm banned against community standards. My account is now suspended. I can no longer post comments. And I mean, this is just, oh my Lord, how could I say such a thing on a social media platform? How could that be? Oh my goodness. Are you serious? Yeah, I am serious. That is my account. It got suspended. I posted it on social media, Twitter. And everything, I sent it a message there to some people. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. No outcry. Everybody's still taking selfies. Everybody's going out to dinner tonight. Nobody cares. Nobody cares Joe Gibson got suspended from Facebook because of posting something like that until it happens to you. You know, I told this story once. You look out, you step out your front door, and oh, my Lord, there's the SWAT team taking away my next-door neighbor on the left-hand side of me. Oh, my goodness. What did he do? Wow, get back inside the house. I'm glad it's not me. A couple weeks later, months later, bam, what's going on? The neighbor to my right, he's getting hauled off. What the heck? He's under arrest. Right away in handcuffs. Killed his dog and everything. You know, glad it wasn't me. You know, neighbor street going, you know. But then they come and get you. Who are you going to cry to? Wait a second, I'm innocent. Whoa, why are you coming to get me, you know? Well, there's no neighbors anymore. You're all, you know, it's singling. This is what's going on. Back in the day, everybody knew each other. Johnny Joe, so Joe this, Joe Gibson this, or Mike this, and whatever. You got taken away. People knew. They knew what was going on. They knew before it was going to happen. You know when somebody did something wrong because there was a community and there was family and everyone stuck together. Everybody knew each other. Today, you walk out on your front porch, you can't even sit out there. I remember I was up there at one of my relatives' houses there in Connecticut. I got outside, go outside there to get fresh air about 3 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep. There's freaking people running down the middle of the road in their boxer shorts, running in and out of the house. There's looks like what appeared to be prostitutes. Girls there with their legs spread laying in the seat of a car down the street. I mean, what the hell kind of circus is this? A zoo. This is everyday life in the city. And you wonder why. You need your DNA tested before you pick your kids up at school. You know? I mean, this is the society we live in. These are the times in which we live today. And you wonder why things are so messed up. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Yeah, you got good talkers out there. You got people, you know, well, you know, what can you do? We talked about this last night. Stay out of their way. Work behind the scenes. Live your life the best you can, I guess, because the cavalry is not coming down from the mountains to save you. You know? It's over. The Republic is pretty much dead, isn't it? God save the Republic. Only God can save it. Now, I don't think there'll be an awakening anymore. I really don't. We are too far gone. When I saw that this morning with Facebook, and that post apparently was from, like, I don't know, 2019 or something, when he started running for his re-election campaign. I don't know. Somewhere around there. And they're just getting to it now. Well, somebody's looking through my social media. They're going, they're looking at me. They're watching me. Oh, yeah. We got to get him. He's not talking about the that support the evil ones. He's a dissenter. I'm an essential worker. I'm an essential worker. Don't come get me, please. I'm essential. Right? That's what it's all about. It's a new world order, and it doesn't include you, this new world order. It'll simulate you for a little while, but then it's going to knock you upside the head, and it's going to take you away. It's going to throw you in a concrete box. We've been over the new world order times. I can't even freaking talk about it anymore sometimes. And still people ask me questions. What's the new world order about, Joe? What's this about? You know, come on. Well, phone number 657-383-0616. What's the news of today? Generate some talking points here. What's the news for today? What do we got here going on? What kind of bizarre stories are happening around the world or in our country or in our own backyards today? I don't know. Stuff that you haven't heard about, I'm sure, because I get all the good stuff. Maybe that's why they're watching me, because where are you getting this information from? It's always coming out true. How the heck does he know about this stuff? How the hell did he predict what was going to happen in the election? How do you know what was going to happen the first week of January? Who's he talking to? We got to get him! Maybe it's just a good guess. Maybe because I see what's going on, and I can make an educated example or like somewhere along the line analysis of what's going to happen. And even though people call me crazy, it's still going to happen because I know what's going to happen. Who are the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Who are they? Does anybody know? Does anyone know who the four horsemen are by any chance? Let me check this call board here. All right, I'm checking the call boards here. 657-383-0616, press number 1. I'll get you on. Hopefully we don't get bombarded here tonight by the idiot trolls. This is InfoWars examines end times prophecy from the book of Revelation and attempts to determine the true meaning behind the four horses and their four riders. It might be pretty interesting. Let's see what we got here. Let's see if we can get this audio playing properly. Let's see here, and we'll play it for you. It's only a couple minutes long. Hopefully it'll play right. Bear with me for a second. Live radio. You can't beat live radio, man. You know, 100% live all the time. No editing, no scripting, no editing. No pre-stuff that's going to be played out. We're just 100% live all the time. Let's see if we get some good audio here.
Illustrates the uncovering or unveiling of the glory of Christ and of future events. There are four main views on the interpretation of this prophetic book. One view interprets the vision as events belonging to the past, to the Roman Empire in the 1st century A.D. The second view is a historical view, suggesting that Revelation is a panoramic view of history from the 1st century A.D. to the second coming of Christ. The third view is a purely symbolic or allegorical view that believes the visions represent the continuing conflict between the forces of good and evil throughout human history. And the fourth view is the futuristic view, claiming that chapter 4 of Revelation to the end of the book deals with end times events in connection with the second coming of Christ. The four horses and their right...
All right, there's the four views and the four horsemen there. I'm not going to get into their theological viewpoints on that, but this is the emergency broadcast here. We can get better audio on this, I'm sure, with this one here. This is from Saturday, the emergency broadcast of, let's see what the emergency is, and we'll play this one here for you, and then we'll go to the open up the phone lines, okay?
Domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
According to the intelligence community, terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today.
Because of this growth in polarization in the United States and domestic violence in white supremacist groups. So I know, looking forward, that the members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas.
The rise of domestic violent extremism is a serious and growing national security threat. The Biden administration will confront this threat with the necessary resources and resolve.
In order to really tackle terrorism, and this time domestically, you've got to attack and dismantle the command and control element of a terrorist group. And unfortunately, and I know this is painful to hear, that may mean people sitting in Congress right now, people in and around the president. That's how you do this. Otherwise, recruitment, inciting, and cult-like leadership continues to recruit people to violence.
Our initial work on DV will broadly fall into three areas. The first is a tasking from President Biden sent to the ODNI today, requesting a comprehensive threat assessment coordinated with the FBI and DHS on domestic violent extremism.
You can be darn tootin' that we are focused very, very hard on how can we get better sources, better information, better analysis, so that we can make sure that something like what happened on January 6th never happens again.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
I'm betting on you. So is Tucker Carlson. So is General Flynn. So is President Trump. So is Roger Stone. So are so many other big guests we've got coming up on this Saturday transmission. Dr. Steve Pachinik, Nick Fuentes, Pete Santilli, Robert Barnes, my head of security, Tim Enlobe, and so much more to put on record while we've still got some type of outlet left, because we're in serious times. Honestly, in front of God and country, and my grandma and my grandpa's and the whole nine yards before them, who we are and what we did and what really happened on January 6th of this year, 6 months ago. because they have created the whole new world. Not 9/11, so Islam is the enemy, or not World War II, Hitler's the enemy, or the Cold War, the Russians are the enemy, but that the American people that question elections and that don't like communism, we're the enemy, we're white supremacists. That's a big deal. And so, we've got these four big guests coming up this afternoon. And I want to just say something, and I'm not bitching and I'm not complaining, but I'll just get this out because I'm my own worst enemy. I got a crew in here that's been working 7 days a week for months. Some of them are, one of them's got a cold in there today. He's sick. He's got sick kids at home, but he's got his wife there doing it because he believes in what we're doing. And I give them a round of applause for being committed. Because do you think I want to be up here on Saturday? Do you think I want to get on an airplane later to go to New York City to fight the New World Order politically? Nonviolently. Don't blow something up in D.C. or New York and say, I can't even do that. No. But nonviolently. No. But I've got a responsibility because where we are in the zeitgeist today and what's happening on this planet. So we're going to lay out the false flag of January 6th. We're going to lay out the whole globalist program and a blueprint to defeat it. And just like I told you, I'm not on a power trip. It's the opposite. But I know in the back of my neck, the hair stands up, that that's what I'm supposed to do. And the back of my neck, the hair stood up 3 weeks ago when I decided to do an emergency Saturday show calling for a global awakening about January 6th and calling for Tucker Carlson and calling for everybody else to expose it was a false flag. I didn't have to call Tucker Carlson up. I didn't have to call Revolver up. I didn't have to. I knew, baby, it was zeitgeist. It's the spirit. But you had the sixth sense. We all got it. But if you could see it, that was angels swimming around, folks, saying do that. And I learned the older I get, I follow what those angels say. So they just tickle the back of your neck and they just let you know you're supposed to do it. And now the globalists are panicking. They're so scared that the truth's coming out. And here we are 2-3 weeks later, and it's the biggest story ever. And the New World Order's scared because they want to stage a bunch of crap. And they want to get everybody scared. They want us to fight with each other and kill each other over what damn color we are and all this stupid-ass BS. Well, we're not looking for a fight. We're not looking to die. But we'll assure you it's time for black people and brown people and white people and pink people like I am to stop killing each other and to start killing bad ideas, to start rejecting evil. So I love that crew, and I love the boom operator that's been here 7 days. I know he's going to be here tomorrow for the Sunday show. I just want to thank them. And I'm going to hit this big news. Then I'm going to go right to these guests. But instead of always doing it as a footnote at the end, I'm going to do it right now. Because I've got a bunch of reporters I want to hire. And I've got operations I want to launch. And I got things I want to do. And I can't do it without your support. So this coming Monday morning, this big sale of high-quality organic vitamin D3 with calcium and our whole food multivitamin, highest quality you're going to find from actual whole foods, and our vitamin C, 1,100% of your daily allowance with 180-some% zinc with rose hips as well. They don't recommend more than 200 milligrams of zinc a day. They don't recommend more than 1,100% of your daily allowance of vitamin C. It's the Linus Pauling ingredient. It's the Linus Pauling recommendation. It's 40% off. Free shipping, double Patriot points, ends Monday morning. And then we've got the three new products, the new ones that finally came in with the supply chain breakdown that we're discounting because you're habituated to discounts, and I get it, and I made it that way, it's my fault. But now we have to sell stuff on sale, even though it's going to sell out, because you don't buy it unless it's on sale, and then stuff sold out for 6-8 months. That's okay. Because we got it right now. X3 back in stock. The tri-ionine for your immune system, your body, your energy, your libido, everything back in stock. 60% off and free shipping, double Patriot points. Ultimate Krill Oil, 40% off. And, of course, Biotris Selenium for the muscle team. All at InfoWarsStore.com right there. And I'm telling you, that's lightning in a bottle. That's how we fund this operation. And people always ask, why do you got so much energy? I remember one time I was totally down, exhausted. I've been on air about 10 hours. And I went to the bathroom to take a piss, and I walked out. And one of the security guys saw me ranting and raving on air, and he said, "My God, what drugs are you on? You have a heart attack. Are you on cocaine?" I said, "I hate cocaine. I'm not on drugs." I said, "I'm in a war." "Well, how'd you go from looking completely exhausted, well, like ready to kill somebody coming out of that bathroom?" And I looked at that mirror and I said, "I'm not going to be these people's slaves. I'm not going to bow down to them. I will not be your slave ever." And it's going to take that type of attitude that's going to smash these pedophile scum that are anti-human and are jacked into some evil. So that's what I'm on, is the life force. And to quote John Paul Jones, "I've only begun the fight." But I really appreciate this crew and this audience for keeping us in the fight. And I need you to keep the fight now. Now I'll give you everything I've got because of submit to these people's death. But all I need is your word of mouth and your prayers and your support. All right, let me show you these articles. We'll start going to these guests. Look at these. The big revolver article that's got the globalists running scared. And that's a good thing, and we literally foresaw it and pushed it together 3 weeks ago. This enemy of freedom. White House unveils new strategy to counter domestic terrorism. They mean real Americans. Lay focus on violence. The same thing Brennan, that communist pervert, said. White House unveils strategy to combat domestic extremism. It's everywhere. It's their whole operation. Let's go back a few years. 2011. Fake terror plots, paid informants, the tactics of the FBI, entrapment question. To fight crime, the FBI sponsors 15 crimes a day. Big article from a top lawyer, John W. Whitehead, Infowars.com. Civil rights photographer, unmasked as informer. Informant's role in terror cases is said to have deterred FBI. Bomb informers' tapes give rare glimpse of FBI's dealings. The big one.
What's going on in my chat room, man?
David K. Shipper. Terrorist plots hatched by the FBI, the vast majority. FBI found to violate its own rules.
2 nights in a row.
All your precious godlike New York Times.
What?
Tapes to pick proposal, the Fort bomb used in Trade Center blast. Their own informant tried to stop the bombing. The FBI ordered it to go forward. I've interviewed. FBI sent investigator posing as assistant to meet with Trump aide. It's all there. It goes on and on and on and on. Just as the old czarist would stage attacks, and just as the old KGB would do it, and Hitler launched World War II on the back of stage attacks, this is part of statecraft, something that corrupt, declining systems do. And that's where we are. And it wasn't till I confirmed they were running major patriot groups in this country, groups I even believed in, that I had to face this for myself. And it wasn't until, even though I knew all this stuff, that they have gone around the country. The people's hands I shook, the people I talked to and said, "We want you to say Alex Jones told you to attack the Capitol," that I knew for the fact, from the top almost down to the bottom, that those agencies are controlled. It's a very, very sad thing. But this is okay. Did you think we'd take our country back without a fight, politically, culturally, without resistance? They want to make it this, because we're about to reelect Republicans. We're about to take control of the House and Senate. We're getting record numbers of state reps. In all these different special elections, 95% of the time, we're winning. They're scared. And the globalists want to sow this country up and finish their work now. But you tonight can make that million, whatever, let me put it back on screen. Was it 1.3 million? I need to get glasses. I can't see the screen anymore perfectly. It's a little bitty and tiny on the screen like that big. But it was like 1.3 million views on that special Saturday show 2 weeks ago. That's a great 1.3 million. It's wonderful. We're in the Senate platform because you put it out in an email. You text messaged it. You told folks to tune in for that emergency broadcast concerning a commission to investigate James Jackson. But what if 20 million people get the views? I guess that was just last week here. So there's the one before that, the one before that. But there's been a lot of emergency broadcasts. The point is that We need to get this out so that other people know what's happening. But instead of just questioning what happens later, the people being set up, the people at home in solitary confinement, their lawyers now know the truth. They know the truth, and we put their lawyers on. And so America understands what we're facing, and it's a beautiful thing. So let's go to our first guest. Right after I play this very short clip of an FBI agent, good old Frank, on national TV, telling the world that we need to, quote, assault members of Congress. I would never say something like that. Because if we assaulted these people, the next group would just assault us. We need rule of law. And if I talked like that and said we should take over Congress and use anti-terrorism forces against them, I deserve to be arrested. But they're doing it, and you can't look for the FBI to arrest them, and that's why these confident criminals are doing it. But the public opinion, just like Fauci and just like Bill Gates, they need to be exposed. So here is this enemy of America blowing his horn, declaring his war against us, and then we'll come back with the first big guess. And which one is it going to be? Will it be Steve Pachinik? Will it be Nick Fuentes? Will it be Gentile? Will it be Robert Barnes? We'll let you know which order straight ahead on the other side. But right now, realize the power you've got. A lighter without kindling is nothing. A match without fuel is nothing. You are the fuel. You are the initiative. You take this live feed. You take this archive feed. You share this now. We won't have 1 million views. We'll have 50 million views. And we'll change the world ahead of the false flag. They're planning the stage right now to blame us, to shut down our political speech, because we were going to peacefully defeat them. So we've got to expose their false flag preparations now more than ever. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In order to really tackle terrorism, and this time domestically, you've got to attack and dismantle the command and control element of a terrorist group. And unfortunately, and I know this is painful to hear, that may mean people sitting in Congress right now, people in and around the former president. That's how you do this. Otherwise, recruitment, inciting, and cult-like leadership continues to recruit people to violence.
And here we are, my friend, on Saturday evening. Oh, there's all sorts of TV shows on, there's all sorts of movies on, there's all sorts of diversions. Then there's the American people fighting back against the global takeover. There's the resistance, and we're it. And the fact that you're tuned in means you're part of that resistance. The fact the crew's here working late and working hard means they're part of the resistance. So all I can ask from you is to take this feed, share it, take the archive feed at band.video, which is banned everywhere, so you got to go to freeworldnews.tv, and to share it like your life depends on it, because it does. And I appreciate you, and I salute you. And our kinship, no matter what damn color your skin is amazing, and I love you. Now, I'm going to hand this over to an interview I did on Friday with one of the main lawyers who is defending people arrested in the Capitol. So this is an interview from Friday, and then I've got an interview that some watch, but not enough, of my head of security, Tim Enloe, from January 6th, when he witnessed what he saw and what happened. He ended up telling the story a little while after it unfolded when we were on a family vacation in Utah. But Tim Enloe goes through exactly what really transpired and what happened, wrote notes down, looked at his notes, and got as good as he could. This is really Alex Jones and my head of security telling you what actually happened on January 6th, just a month later or so. So it's a very, very important piece of the record. While the left tries to deny everything and tries to obfuscate, tries to distract and claim all this crap, here we are just honestly putting out the truth as a historical record. So here it is. Then I ask you to go to InfoWarsStore.com, because we can't fight this fight. We can't take the globalist on. We can't do what you're doing without your support. So get a Save the Frog shirt, or get a America is Free shirt, or get a book, or get a film, or get some vitamins and minerals. Get some X3. Become a sponsor. Make a donation. Whatever you do, take action. Find the tip of the spear at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's absolutely shameful how people have sat there and now all run for cover about January 6th. They're all running away as if it's something to be ashamed of. And what I want to say, state is this. Yes, a few people did some bad things on January 6th, but the majority of Americans that came there and expressed their First Amendment rights did so peacefully throughout the event, even after the breach occurred. The majority, 95%, 98% of that crowd never went inside that Capitol. And yet, we are being told that January 6th is something to be ashamed of. We have the leaders in this country who are running away from that day and trying to disassociate themselves from any involvement with that day, when the opposite should be true. We should be proud that Americans came from all over the United States to express their First Amendment rights peacefully and to stand up against the election fraud that we know that occurred. Some people may know that, some people may not. organizers who were handling the actual logistics of the stage and of the speakers and everything involving that event of Trump's speech, that they wanted Alex to lead a march along with some other personalities from the Ellipse to the Capitol. Okay, that was planned, okay, and it was always planned to be a peaceful march, okay, there was no plans of violence or anything of that sort. Now, what transpired was, or what the original plan was, that about 15 to 20 minutes before Trump was finishing his speech, they would come get us and escort us out of side entrance, past the Secret Service, to the 15th Street side there, and that's where we would meet the crowd to sit there and start to march to the Capitol. Now, around noon, Trump comes on, okay, and to everyone's surprise, around 12:05 p.m. of his speech, he sits there and announces that he may even join the march.
We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol, and we're going to try and give... The Democrats are hopeless. They're never voting for anything. Not even one vote. But we're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help. We're going to try and give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you all. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. This is incredible. Thank you very much.
Around 12:15 p.m., I start getting notification that they are going to pull us out any minute to take us out to the 15th Street side and await both the crowd and Trump's departure so that we could all march up Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol. That was the plan. Trump's speech went a little bit longer than anticipated. Around 1 p.m. is just before 1 p.m., I want to say maybe around 12:50, they came and got us and took us out the side entrance past the Secret Service to the 15th Street side. As we got to the 15th Street side, it was clear that many thousands of people were already starting to head toward the Capitol. Now, let me back up just a little bit. As Alex mentioned earlier, my security team did a reconnaissance of the Capitol around 11:33 a.m. that morning before Trump even came on stage. And they reported at that time on the west side of the Capitol, there was already about 120 people gathering in front of the Capitol. According to my advance team leader, it looked as if some of those people were already kind of reconnaissing the Capitol and kind of checking things out. Some of them had tactical gear on, things like that. So there was already some concern. 12:05 p.m., Trump announces that he may lead or he may join the march up Pennsylvania Avenue. 12:07 p.m., 2 minutes later, as Trump was speaking, we were already getting calls over the radios and on text messages that there were problems starting to happen. There was problems happening at the Capitol already between Capitol Police and some people that have made their
witness. Let me interject right here. We had talked to multiple witnesses. You see in the band on video, some were combat veterans, others that said, yeah, we already got there early, too. And as soon as the gunners, at the same time, they heard Trump said go to the Capitol, they could blame him, they went, go, go, go. And that's when he started running and attacking the police. These were dressed paramilitary, professional, going in, and we've identified who they are now. I'll get into that in a moment, but Tim just gave me the timeline. So, again, the minute they had Trump say that, boom.
Right. So, again, 12:07, we start getting reports over the radio and via text messages that there's starting to be problems at the Capitol. 1 p.m., we sit there and depart and go to 15th Street side. We already see at this point thousands of people walking in the direction of the Capitol. So, Alex made the decision at that time, along with Owen, that we were going to start walking to the Capitol as well. We were not going to wait on the president, and we were going to just start doing the march. When we get to 14th and Pennsylvania, right around Freedom Plaza, we got there, I believe, let's see here, we got there right around 1:10 p.m. We got to Freedom Plaza, and Owen and Alex addressed the crowd that had started to gather there on the way to the Capitol. Alex stressed to the crowd that we needed to be peaceful. He stressed that several times. Around 1:21 p.m., we then began the march to the Capitol because by that time, Trump was wrapping up his speech. A lot of the crowd was starting to walk, and Alex started to lead a good-sized chunk of that crowd up toward the Capitol. That's at 1:21 p.m. that we start making our way up there. As we're going up there, you can already hear some bangs going off where Capitol Police are throwing flashbangs and things like that. Around 1:48 p.m., we arrive at the Capitol grounds. Again, we can hear flashbangs going off. Alex stated to me, this is bad, this is not good, I need to talk to the crowd and do something here. Around 1:50 p.m., Alex gets on a stack of chairs, large stack of chairs about 5 feet high, to get some high ground so more of the crowd can see him, and he gets on the bullhorn, and for about 5 minutes addresses the crowd, and starts telling the crowd to be peaceful, not to antagonize the police, and not to go inside the Capitol.
Hours until 600 hours tomorrow, all individuals must leave the U.S. Capitol grounds or be subject to arrest.
Let me get up there. Let me use that. They'll know my voice. They'll get out of there. They said, hey, just go to the top and use your voice there. Well, again, tell them a story. I was unable to even reach anybody because it was such a huge crowd.
Right. So 2:03 p.m., we start addressing the Capitol Police there on the northeast corner. My advance team leader talks to the sergeant there, who then gets the lieutenant, and that lieutenant then radios inside the Capitol building to try to get permission to see if Alex can get on that PA system. So at this point, precious minutes are ticking by, and that's when we heard a roar go up in the crowd, and we look toward the steps, the main steps, and we start seeing a surge of people up there, right? So at that point, we believe that the Capitol had been breached.
So that side had already breached?
Yeah, they had already breached on the other side, but we had already made our way back around to that side. So at this point, again, as Alex said, the Capitol Police tell him, well, if you want to address the crowd, go up there to the steps. So at 2:18, it took us a while to get through that crowd. And at 2:18 p.m., Alex makes his way up the steps, to the top steps of the Capitol there on the east side, the Supreme Court side. Again, he addresses the crowd. Again, he stresses that this is a trap. Don't fall for it. Don't fight with the police. Don't go inside. But by this time, the breach had already occurred by the time we made it to the top steps on the east side. So we could see things were going bad, obviously. We spent about 3 minutes or so.
Yeah, exactly. We got off, the next year's last thing as soon as we left.
Right.
So they gave us a chance.
Yeah, exactly. So we come down the stairs probably, I think, right around 2:21 p.m. We come down the stairs. 2:35 p.m., Alex interviews an individual there. We have that footage as well. And it was around just before that time that we see a red flare go up. And it, we took that to be somebody killed or shot, some kind of distress signal from the Capitol Police. And right then we got radio traffic that there were shots fired inside the Capitol building near the Senate floor, and that a white female was down at that point. So then around 2:38 p.m. is when we made the decision to get Alex off the Capitol grounds.
And I told everybody over and over again, it's on tape, I said, this is going to be a new kid stay. And again, we were set up, we walked in the trap, but it's not our fault. We came to fight election fraud, we came to support our president. We had so many other events that were peaceful of the actual attack of a few people that we had a blind side of the Capitol Police to be outnumbered. And that, of course, a group of Antifa we now know, along with the Boogaloos, who online said that they went and they had teams and they broke in and they did this. I'm not calling for their arrest. I'm simply saying that all these other peaceful people that just wandered in there are facing 25 years in jail. These guys are online saying, we went there, we broke in, we were part of it, and they're all just walking free. And they run security for BLM, funded by George Soros and taxpayers, and $10.6 million in donations just last year alone. And I'm telling you, this is the establishment. So most of the Blues, I'm sure, are well-meaning people. And maybe their leader is. I don't know what you guys are doing, but, well, you're sure helping the state and the system here. And that's the, you know, the final point is you've been talking to some of those people. I've been talking to them, invited them on the air. But we know Antifa went in. They said they were going to bring 100 people in stage events. We know that some of them did do it. Some got arrested. Some got charged. That's gotten very little coverage. Then we've also got, again, the Boogaloos that we now know were dressed up in the camo, part of that first group attacking and breaking in. Then pulling back, though, once the crowd went in. That doesn't sound like revolutionaries that were really trying to take the Capitol and hold it. Sounds like a setup to me. Of course, that's 2 + 2 = 4. Did some real people go in? Yeah, mainly Q folks that thought, we're liberating. This is the storm. And that's who's been indicted, most of the 125. Ashley, that got killed, she was a big Q person. She believed she was there. Liberating the facility. I feel very sorry for her, but this was the psyop. Tim's a smart guy in a lot of stuff and a lot of agencies and groups in his career, and he believes it's a setup. So do some of the other guys working with him that are also smart, but this is an obvious setup. And so all I'm saying is people called me a wimp when I said don't go to these events on the 20th, and then get off to other areas. We got video clandestinely, and it was just Antifa that even admitted they were Antifa dressed up like patriots. Antifa now dresses like Boogaloo. It's camouflaged with the florals, Hawaiian shirts. I'm not saying say all boogaloos are necessarily bad. I know good people get recruited by things. But this is how they set up the militias in the 1990s, how they infiltrate them. And this is going to be their model into the future, saying patriots are domestic terrorists. The main threat is conservatives, nationals, people that challenge election fraud, people that challenge Biden being a Chinese agent. They're sending them to use the CIA, FBI, and NSA, intelligence, that's illegal, by the way, most groups were together, against us. Even Tulsi Gabbard has said this is martial law. You have the head of the House Intelligence Committee chief introducing a bill five times stronger than the Patriot Act that the left didn't want against Muslims. This is like five times stronger for citizens.
You don't have to guess about where this goes or how this ends when you have people like former CIA Director John Brennan openly talking about how he's spoken with or heard from appointees and nominees in the Biden administration who are already starting to look across our country for these types of movements similar to the insurgencies they've seen overseas that, in his words, he says, make up this unholy alliance of religious extremists, racists, bigots. He lists a few others, and adds at the end, even libertarians. So when you look at their process and they start looking at, okay, what characteristics are we looking for as we're building this profile of a potential extremist, what are we talking about? Religious extremists, are we talking about Christians, evangelical Christians? What is a religious extremist? Is it somebody who's pro-life? I mean, where do you take this? You start looking at, okay, well, obviously you have to be a white person, obviously, likely male, libertarians, well, if anybody who loves freedom, liberty, maybe has an American flag outside their house, or people who, you know, attended a Trump rally.
Yeah, and so do I feel guilty for what happened? No, absolutely not. I'm in the arena. I meant well. I went. We had all these other peaceful events. We were rallying for our First Amendment. We were rallying for election integrity. The Democrats said they were going to challenge the election no matter what. They said that was the best thing you could ever do. They challenged electors 4 years before. They got voted down by then Vice President Biden. So we did everything the Democrats did 4 years ago, minus a couple hundred idiots going into the Capitol. We didn't burn down cities with Democrats. We didn't shoot cops in the head of citizens. We didn't burn down police stations. And so to have this group calling us terrorists and have Frontline, who I may have to sue, don't have the money. I mean, Frontline edited these tapes together last week and put me on air as leading the attack. And he got the Capitol breach going, 1776, 1776, get him. Cut out all the clips when I said be peaceful. And they'll frame me on Frontline. They'll frame anybody. And so, remember, how we start. There's a trial of the president coming up February 8th for inciting and running this. Now they're going, okay, maybe he didn't. There was planned groups. Groups, Southern Poverty Law Center that specializes, that's them saying that they're the main suspect, get into and provocateur. So that's why I thought it was important to lay out the timeline. Tim, I appreciate you doing a lot of research and get this together as best you can. Most of it's 100% accurate, but nothing's perfect. And the whole fog of this. But I want to just see you as a citizen and a patriot, but also your law enforcement military background. Looking at this, talking to some of the other folks that are smart that you work with, you guys think this was a failed bigger event, the pipe bombs that were found and more. Thank God we did get there and help de-escalate some. Again, for those that say Trump would want this, this totally hurt Trump. This discredited everything he was doing. This was a horrible disaster. So just that idea that the left's pushing is also asinine. So, Tim, any other question like that?
Yeah, I think first of all, what's concerning is that there was absolutely chatter before January 6th, the FBI knew, Homeland Security knew that there was chatter, that some of the fringe elements, not the main groups, not the main grassroots groups that wanted to go there and demonstrate peacefully, but that some of the fringe elements and militias, that they were talking violence, okay, prior to January 6th, okay? So it's mind-boggling to me that there was lighter than usual security from the Capitol Hill police at the Capitol that day. That reeks. Okay. The second thing is the President of the United States announces on stage that he's going to be joining a march to go up to Capitol Hill. And yet when we arrive there, there's not a single Secret Service advance team person. There's no Secret Service uniform police to supplement the Capitol Hill police, even though supposedly the president's going to be arriving in a few minutes. I've protected presidents from Bush, Obama, you know, every dignitary you can imagine over my career, okay? And seen security scaled down for the President of the United States as it was that day at Capitol Hill. So that's concerning. Obviously, there's some issues there. Secondly, the FBI and Homeland Defense were aware that some of the groups had stated online that they wanted to engage in violence. And
there's articles everywhere.
Yet again, there was no proactive enforcement, no search warrants, nothing executed to sit there and prevent that violence from occurring. Okay? Again, huge failure, if you want to call it a failure, or if you want to call it dereliction of federal law enforcement. And then the last point that I'd like to make is this. It's absolutely shameful how people have sat there and now all run for cover about January 6th. They're all running away as if it's something to be ashamed of. And what I want to state is this. Yes, a few people did some bad things on January 6th, but the majority of Americans that came there and expressed their First Amendment rights did so peacefully throughout the event, even after the breach occurred. The majority, 95%, 98% of that crowd never went inside that Capitol. And yet, we are being told that January 6th is something to be ashamed of. We have the leaders in this country who are running away from that day and trying to disassociate themselves from any involvement with that day when the opposite should be true. We should be proud that Americans came from all over the United States to express their First Amendment rights peacefully and to stand up against the election fraud that we know that occurred.
Well, that's right. Perfectly said. Totally true. Because when the left goes out, BLM or Antifa, 80% of them are violent. Breaking stuff, smashing things, beating people up, burning things. And then we have probably a million people out there. And I'm surprised there weren't more people hurt. I mean, a major football team wins a championship and 10, 15 people die and they overturn cars and tear up 15 restaurants. That's not right. But we had this huge event and it was a standout. I mean, I got there and saw the flashbangs going off. I couldn't see any cops, a few dozen. And there was like 100-something thousand people just standing there waiting for the president. And those troublemakers knew what they were doing and Buffalo jumped or stampeded people in. And once the doors were open and the police said, okay, it's been breached, let's not fight them. Wave them in. We need an investigation. We need freedom of request. We need to know what really happened that day. And I'm not up here talking about this to protect my life. I would love to be called before the Senate in Trump's trial. I'm sure Tim would be happy to, but you know that's not going to happen. They're going to lie about us. Like they have these hearings about me all the time. Tim's been hearings years ago with me. When I'm talking about me and how I'm banned off the internet and all this stuff, and telling lies, out there in the gallery, I'll wait, you know, get in, be in the back row. And they're sitting there talking about me up there while they have witnesses lying about me. Well, imagine Trump. This is not defending Trump, it's not defending the truth. He's out there, he always has these peaceful rallies, he thinks it'll be just like that. He tells the Secret Service days before, I know, that, hey, I want Alice Jones to lead with other people, I want you there, I'll be peaceful, I want to stage set up. And we get there, and that's not the case, ladies and gentlemen. So they're like, oh, he's coming, let's just not have any security, let's more stand down, let's have our people, Antifa and other groups have infiltrated, stir things up, attack the cops, get the cops to attack the crowd, about 20 minutes before I got there, and then say, attack, attack, take it, and a bunch of witnesses told me they were saying, Alex Jones, how to do it, and then the cops still didn't really take over, so then they got up on the scaffolding, and they're like, attack, attack, it's those people getting arrested. So I want to know who's in the Uncle Sam outfit saying attack. I want to know who these groups are, these people wearing masks doing all this stuff. Okay? Almost all of them are Antifa and FBI infiltrated militias. The rest are accelerationists, criminals that just came because they're like pyromaniacs and want to see the Capitol burn. And, Tim, what about the point of dodging the bullet? I know you're sticking to the facts here, but, I mean, talking about dodging the bullet, they planned something much worse that day, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, talking to some of the law enforcement people that were involved on January 6th, obviously they did discover some pipe bombs. So this is not something you put together in your car 5 minutes before an event, right? This is something you put together days, weeks in advance, okay? You plan where you're going to plant it. You plan the actual the devastation that you want to accomplish. You're already taking all that into your planning considerations, okay, and the reaction that you're going to get as a result from that, whether it's the media, whether it's the military, whether it's police, okay. So this was absolutely planned to be much worse than what it was, and I agree with you. I think we dodged a bullet that day, and again, that's not being talked about. All that's being hard, hardcore extremists because they're walking around taking selfies in congressmen and senators' offices.
This was worse than Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, I'd say no. I'd say 100% not.
What do you think President Trump could do? Because he never has good lawyers, has good defense. I mean, they're going to like show clips of what he said out of context. I mean, Don Jr. said over here, we're not violent. We don't burn down buildings and shoot cops like Andy, but we're going to march down there peacefully. They had the tapes, so you watch the tapes. It sounds like they were like, kill them.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, we were there. We were right up on front of the stage. It's not like we misunderstood Trump, and he was very clear that it was going to be a peaceful march. Again, like you said, with Don Jr. as well. So, you know, one of the things I think that, again, needs to be looked at, and I agree with you, is who made these calls in these militias to sit there and break into the Capitol? When were those calls made, right? And the only way you're going to get to that is if those people are actually pulled in and interviewed, right? And so far, and then it seems like we're the only ones being contacted by the FBI, Alex, right? And the people who are online said taking responsibility for the break-in, somehow the FBI is mysteriously just looking right over them. So you draw whatever conclusions you want from that. But as Alex said, we know that was a template that the feds used in the 1990s. They infiltrated those militias. They got them to believe that they were acting on their own accord when really they were being manipulated the entire time.
Exactly. And I'll say this in closing. We're watching the lady that was working with the Secret Service. Secret Service behind her. I've been here for 3 nights and they want me to lead this march. I told them I can't do it with a march. I mean, a million people. They thought it would be 50,000. That's the average Trump rally or smaller. They were blown away. And people talk about Trump's blown away. And actually, like, when Trump and them behind the thing, but me and Tim are sitting there, you know, right there in the front side row, and I'm going, I got a bad feeling. I think at least you're going down the Capitol now. And I don't know if this is real. And he's like, yeah. We're supposed to leave this, and all of a sudden, here comes the Secret Service, opens up the front gate right below the president. Here's the president speaking. They open the gate up. I'm like, he's right there. I'm like, okay. And they open up the back, and there's the Secret Service in the uniform back there, and they let us out the back. And then I'm there on the street, and the people are already starting to march, and I'm like, okay. And then, so this was, the president was set up. We were set up. I'm not a whiny victim about this. I mean, I admit we got set up. I dropped the ball, but I have no culpability in what the Antifa and other criminals did, but this needs to get out, and that's why they silenced everybody about this. They put out false narratives about COVID, false narratives about the election, false narratives about Biden and communist China, false narratives about the Second Amendment. This country's in a lot of trouble, and so I just want to ask listeners, send this out to all the media. I'm going to send this to Frontline with a cease and desist letter. As soon as this video goes out today, I'm going to send one tomorrow for my lawyers. The Wall Street Journal had to retract St. Jones. They said Jones was there on top of a car, and I was on top of chairs, telling people to attack. I sent the video, they retracted. I don't want to have to sue. I'm being sued. I don't want to be involved in this, but I cannot have front line editing tapes of me saying attack the Capitol. I mean, it has to stop, okay? I don't want stuff blown up in this country and have the country hurt, much less blame myself. There are Democrats everywhere saying put me in prison. And despite the fact that I know the truth, they know the opposite. And that we're on thousands of different videos trying to stop what happened there. So the idea that I got power out of this, no, this was a defeat for us. Okay? It was a great day for people coming out, but that little 0.5% messed it up. And that was obviously engineered and provocateur. So the idea that I'm getting off on this, the left is getting off on this. This is a huge victory for you, and you know it. And now you want to hang around my neck. All the things you're obsessed with, Nancy Pelosi saying people burning down buildings and shooting people, it's just what people do. And Maxine Waters saying go out and attack conservatives, getting their face everywhere, that's BS. So that's it for this piece. I appreciate Tim Ello speaking with us. Rob is behind the camera. Rob, you were there that day. You want to make any comments?
Well, you caught me off guard. Yeah, and I actually went a little further than you guys. I walked up the steps to the back area to see what that was looking like. And I have video there. Everybody's hanging out. It was like a block party atmosphere. It wasn't people trying to tear down there. No, there was a small group scrumming with the police at the door. I didn't even get that close to it. I could see them from a distance. But the majority of the people there went there with the intention of getting the election investigated, because we know what we saw on November 3rd was totally fake. It was a robbery. It was a robbery of our republic, and now we're living with that aftermath, and we're seeing what it's doing to us. We're just a little bit into Biden's term, and we're seeing all the things he's tearing back, all the jobs he's killing, and it's
going to be told
we're terrorists if we question the election or support Trump.
Exactly. So they've got us backed into a corner, so it's our job just to keep getting the truth out and by putting videos out like this and showing people what really happened. Because we put out videos of Alex Jones all the times he said, we're going to go peacefully. We're not going to go in trying to get people pulled away from the area, talking with the cops. We put all those videos out, and it doesn't matter. Frontline still just says, oh, we're just going to frame it because we can do that. And they get away with it, and nothing ever happens to them. Isn't that funny? Nothing ever happens to them. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little heated.
I know, it's criminal. It's done. Picks up the very videos of me saying, don't be violent, and have me saying, be violent.
Yeah.
All right, folks, help us get this video out. Thanks for supporting band.video, Infowars.com. Send us everybody you know in Congress. This is the truth from Alex Jones, from Eyewitnesses. Thanks for watching.
The globalists want all of us to think that everything they do is about filibustering us, shutting us down, making us sickly, trying to cut us off from each other, cut us off from God. So about 4 years ago, the Jones family began their operation. Every 3 or 4 days, get out. Find the next news put it in plastic, stir it up with my sense of food refrigerator, and leave it for twice a day, and with a fresh food, totally healthy, nutritious drink, full of natural vitamins, minerals, and other seasonal acids, the body supplements. A lot of multivitamins have good ingredients in them, but it doesn't absorb the properties. But it is liquefied, and if you drink it several times a day, you get a lot better absorption. I am so healthy. My children are so healthy. It's got vitamin D3. It's got zinc. It's got everything that is essential in it. It is a liquid multivitamin. And it's so important all the time, not just with what's been going on the last year, to have these two vitamins and minerals in your cells, in your body. That's why it's called essential. Listen, I'm not talking about you. I know that you know what essential means to die without. But your friends, your neighbors, your family don't even know this. So it's important to not just get vitamin D3 from yourself, your family, but tell other folks about it, or at least tell them that you need a high-quality multivitamin. There's a lot of synthetic multivitamins out there that are actually toxic and do not help you. This is not synthetic, it's high quality. And because it's so important, and this is sold out for months, I'm selling it 50% off. You don't have a limited shipment. 50% off for everybody at InfoWarsStore.com on vitamins and minerals. Get your today. Enjoy it. Share it.
All right, everybody. All right, Joseph Gibson podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today. Whoops, sorry. Sorry about that. All right. Check the phone boards here. I know I had a few callers there waiting, but I wanted to finish playing this. So it keeps disconnecting me, my studio, for some reason, Blog Talk Radio. It's been doing this a couple nights in a row. So I even hung up on a few callers. So if you pressed one, you're going to have to hang up, press one again, or press it again and try to get back on, because I saw a couple people bouncing off the screen. So I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk Radio. It's been going on to a couple problems here for some reason. I don't know why. But, yeah. Don't worry. I know someone. Cost off. What kind of name is that? Cost off. Cost off. Cost off. Is that how you pronounce it? Cost off. Cost off. K-O-S-S-O-F-F. Cost off. Cost off. I don't know whatever that means. I don't know. I don't know. But, all right. Well, calling from here from Greensboro, North Carolina tonight. Understanding the times in which you live today. That was, I guess that'll wrap up the podcast. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there, and we'll wrap it up here. And hopefully we'll do a show tomorrow night. If not, we'll take a couple days off and got some other stuff to take care of. And I don't know if anybody's on hold or not. I don't know. I can't tell. Send me an instant message if somebody wants to talk. I'm not sure if somebody wants to talk or not. And there's a couple people here, numbers I recognize, but I'll see you. Okay. I sent you a message a long time ago. All right, you don't want to come on. Okay, I don't know. I don't know who wants to come on. The ones that are not working, I guess. I don't know. All right, we'll wrap it up here. I guess I'll wrap it up here with this. Let's see here. Play this for somebody. Somebody requested it. Wrap it up with this short one here with Ronald. Just a real short one here if I can get it. Well, we'll do the, there we are. Answer 1984. There we go.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things.
and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Good night, everybody.